Amen. Father God, we just praise you and we thank you that you live in us. The Holy Spirit, the power of the universe lives in us, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for the guidance that he gives us, the leadership skills that he gives us, all of the things that he does for us, Father God, the power that we need when we come against the enemy. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you for bringing up the scriptures as we need them. And I thank you for all the great, wonderful things you do in our lives to help us to get ready for this great happening that's fixing to happen in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you get people in here. And we'll talk again some more tonight about the gifts of the Spirit. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, see anybody got any prayer requests? What was we going to pray about a while ago? I was going to bring it up. Oh, the weather. Lord, I lift up all of those states and countries that need rain to you, Lord. And I thank you for all of the grain producing, food producing farms get the rain that they need, and livestock food gets the rain it needs, and everything that needs rain. I ask and I pray, Lord, that you get the rain to them. In Jesus' name. Matter of fact, we just command the rain to start in the Midwest where there's a lot of grain fields out there that need rain. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father. Not only that, I thank you, Lord, that California, San Diego, and all in that area there is going to get rain. In Jesus' name. Amen. And I thank you, Lord, that not only there, Florida gets a good rain, a good soaking rain, Lord, a good long soaking rain. An overnight rain would be great. And we thank you, Lord, for pushing this heat out and pulling the little cool air back in here. And it wouldn't bother me just to see some 75-degree weather the next few days, Lord. That would be awesome. That's my temperature. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Glory be to God. Okay, has anybody else got a prayer request? Lord, I thank you for Trump, giving him wisdom in this Iranian war, giving him wisdom in the steps that he's taken in the administration. I give him wisdom and discernment in the things that he has to have it. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, that he is your man for this hour in these United States. And I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, for giving Canada some relief in their administration up there too, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing for all of your people. Praise be to God. Hey, Joe, good to see you, brother. And Barbara. All right, anybody else got a prayer request? Thank you, Jesus. Bless y'all. Well, bless you too, brother. Anybody else want to pray? Okay, it's going to be. We'll have to listen to a good song, you know. Oh, I'm sorry, Julie. I didn't see your hand up. Go ahead. I know.
Sorry. I have a just a kind of a neat testimony.
Let's hear it.
Okay. Well, we've had a lot of busyness out here in the West Coast with a lot of high heat and drought and that kind of thing, and there's been fires. And I pray every day and bind up stuff that I know to bind up. And yesterday, the Lord had me read Psalm 8, and just specifically verse 2. I was just meditating on this, but I read the whole thing, but just that the dominion that God has given us, but out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou established strength. Because of thine adversaries, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. And anyhow, so I was meditating on that, and I was binding up the spirits of arson and destruction and lawlessness and the pyromania spirits and anything that would I could think of, that's kind of what my routine is, and binding up these things and covering my neighborhood and praying Psalm 91, that kind of stuff. Well, late afternoon yesterday, I guess it was around 3 and stuff, I was hearing sirens, and I'm hearing, I mean, I, you know, or you hear them too. I know you guys hear them too sometimes. I hear sirens all the time, but this is late afternoon, mid-afternoon. And then pretty soon I get an emergency alert on my phone that there's a fire. And it's not here or near me or anything, but that's what all the sirens and activity was about. And I was binding up the demons, and I sent the angels, and I commanded the winds to cease and die down, and that they would get a hold of this fire before it got out of control. And however, I was praying and just saying, taking authority and declaring things. And I didn't get any more alert systems on my phone, but I did open up the alert page where the sheriff's had blocked off road closures, and this was the area it showed it was in, where the fire was at and where the affected areas were and where the winds were at, and all these, and it shows all this data. And I was just watching that for a little bit and just praying and thanking God and command the angels and that, and just commanding the conditions to be such that this fire gets contained quickly. This is the second time that's done that. The other one was about 9 miles away from me. And they did the same thing, and they got containment of that fire by, I think it was like by 6 o'clock, 5, 6 o'clock, something like that, that they had containment, not complete, but they started getting containment of it. And they lifted the evacuation warnings, and they opened up the roads again so people could get around. But it was another brush fire, just a lot of vegetation and dry brush and things. And I was just praising God, thanking God for the fire department and all the first responders and everybody doing what they were doing and answering my prayers. That was just a huge encouragement to me. The Lord was, it's like, you have this authority out of the may mouths of babes and sucklings, establish strength, and because of my adversaries that might steal the enemy and the avenger. And that we have dominion over the works of the hands of God, and we command the angels. Anyhow, that was just an encouragement that these things are being done in the spiritual realm. And because if you have watched any of these things on the news of these fires and stuff, it's devastating to see what they're doing and how much property is lost, and people are losing everything. And so I just thank the Lord for CAL FIRE. I bless them in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that they do a good job and they have the resources and the tools. And I give you all the glory, Lord, that these things are being done. Because I know that nothing comes to us except from you and from heaven. And I thank you, Lord, for keeping my neighborhood safe, keeping me safe. And you watch over your word, God, and you're faithful. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? I was reading earlier about Smith the Wigglesworth, and he made this statement, y'all. He made this statement. He said, "I am a thousand times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside." Everybody, I think everybody understands what he was talking about. Yeah. Amen. That's because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Praise God. All right. Anybody else got a prayer? Want to pray? There's a lot to pray about. Lord, I thank you for Trump's DOJ. Rounding up all the bad people in the government that are stealing money from us and putting them in jail, Lord, and getting their money back and putting it back in the treasury. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for your angels that are helping in this round up here, and I praise and thank you for it, Father, and the military. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you put it in President Trump's mind to get rid of property taxes in the U.S. They are just going crazy around putting, they've gone up in Tennessee a considerable amount here just in the last few weeks, according to what I heard. So, Lord, we ask for some relief here. I think it's, I'm almost certain it's unconstitutional, property tax. Well, I know I don't want to come out there either. That's just one great big boondoggle out there. Thank you, Lord, for getting rid of just all property taxes. You can make it known that it is unconstitutional because nobody can ever own anything anymore. You can't own you can, you don't own your car, you don't own your property, you don't own your house. The federal government owns it. And Lord, I thank you for freeing that up for us. In Jesus' name. Yeah, listen.
Merle just paid our property, I think it's school taxes, property tax, basically what it is. Because people, I don't
There
think
are
any.
ways to pay for the schools other than stealing people's property.
Our it really went up. If we didn't, they'll reduce it. I'm not sure how much it is, like maybe. I don't know. It's less, like maybe 5% less if you pay it early. Anyway, it was almost $4,000.
Oh my.
That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's you're in a blue state though. That's to be expected.
Well, Allegheny County is big time blue, period. Well, no, we actually were not. It's only Philadelphia and Pittsburgh are really blue. Most
I
of the
know,
state's
I
red.
know.
Most of the state's red.
Yeah. Well, here, Judy made a good point. There's people that have been retired and their kids have grown up out of school, been out of school for 40 years, and they're still paying property taxes. That ought not to be. Ought not to be. They got to figure out some way else of getting it. And I bet you if you did an audit in every county in the United States, you'd find a lot of fraud. Oh Lord, get me off of this. Thank you, Jesus. They actually went down on the taxes in Arkansas, but here in Tennessee, they went way up. Sarah Huckabee's doing a good job of it. I wish she'd just get rid of them. Didn't Florida get rid of theirs? Yeah, I think Florida got rid of their property tax. Yeah. What's his name? Ron DeSantis. Yeah. Do y'all have such an animal up there, Andrew, as a property tax? Do you? Okay. What do you mean? Okay. Anybody else got a prayer request? I would like to pray. All right, I'm going to play a song. This is going to bring you up out your seat.
When I
I'm sitting here just praising God, thanking God for getting me all stirred up in the spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. We just praise you, Father. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. All right. My, 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 my. I told Chuck the other night, I told him, I said, Chuck, you're going to get that song up there that I gave you is one like that one. He said, if you get me the sheet music to it, I'll do it. I said, okay. So I've got to go online and look up the sheet music and send it to him. It's one like that one, man. I think it's called the Fire of the Holy Ghost or something like that. Okay. Anybody got anything they'd like to share? Is there something going on? Nobody's not sharing nothing. Nobody's doing anything. Nobody's praying. Nobody's doing anything. Oh, my. Help me, Jesus. Okay. Where'd we leave off on the gifts of the Spirit last week, the other day? What day is this anyway? This is Thursday. Yeah.
Michael, I think the last one we were talking about was the gift of faith.
Gift of faith,
Or
okay.
was we did discernment of spirits, we did gift of faith, we did miracles. That's where we left off. We were only just touching base on that one.
We
What
just
is the
got
gift of
started on
miracles?
miracles. Yeah.
Yep, that's where we were.
Gift. Okay, does anybody want to talk about the gifts of miracles? Gift of miracles. What is the gift of miracles? Somebody, want somebody tell me. Anybody know? I'll tell you what the gift of miracles is. Just from my experience. The gift of miracles is like somebody that does not have a leg and you pray for them and a leg grows out. That's the gift of miracles. The gift of miracles is like a child that has been born with holes in their heart, that when you pray for them, the holes seal up and the baby is normal. That's the gift of miracles. The gift of miracles is when someone, do you get to what I'm talking about? It's, the gift of miracles is like when Jesus took the mud, put it in that guy's eyes, and he could see after he'd washed his eyes. He got his eyeballs back so he could see. Okay, yeah, Julie, go ahead.
I had an experience where God did a miracle for me. This was several years ago, and I was driving my car, and I saw steam coming up from underneath my hood. And I commanded, I didn't know if it was a leak in like my radiator or if it was a hose or what it was, but I'm like, my car's not overheating. I ain't got no leak. I command it to stop and be sealed up, whatever it is. And it did. And this happened, I think, twice. I had a trial with it. It's like this happened twice. I saw steam coming up from underneath my hood as I'm driving. I'm like, no. I made sure that it had, plenty of water and fluid and that kind of thing. And so that was a miracle that God did for me. That was a gift. I mean, that was a miracle, prayed and
Yeah.
commanded to stop. I'm trying to think here. I've seen him, I've witnessed doing healings, but I'm just trying to think of miracles. Not that I've been witness or part of this, but I know, resurrecting people from the dead is a miracle. That has to be a miracle. You call
Absolutely.
somebody back from death to life. I think of some of the things that some of David's testimonies and your testimonies, Michael, that you guys have shared, miracles like, and I guess I've done this too, is, commanding weather. That's a miracle, commanding weather, that kind of thing, and praying, and I was coming back from the store, and with someone else was driving, and my neighbor Fred was with me, and with it was three of us, and it was starting to rain, and I prayed right there in the car. It's like, Lord, we got groceries to unload, and stop to get up these stairs. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would hold off the rain until we get home. I wasn't specific enough. After we got home, it stopped. It wasn't raining. It was just sprinkling a little bit, and we got home. And as we were coming up the stairs, and I was coming up the stairs, it started pouring. And I got wet, Fred got wet, and the other guy got wet, but he had to make several, he had to make a couple trips up with Fred's stuff. And I'm just like, I should have been more specific. But the other thing was that they, he, our driver had another person he was waiting for a phone call for them to go pick them up. And because he was trying to get me to hurry up, I'm like, I'm doing the best I can, because I went shopping. And he goes, well, if he calls while you're shopping, we'll come back and get you. And I'm like, no, you're going to wait for me. Well, anyhow, and it, when it started, when it on the way home, then I said, when we get done here, you'll get that phone call that he's ready for you to come pick him up. And sure enough, after he got done, he's standing out here soaking wet from the rain. He gets a phone call, and it was that guy, and he was ready to come be picked up. And it's like exactly how I prayed, except I should have been more specific about the rain coming after we got our stuff upstairs and unloaded out the car and upstairs. But anyhow, he was faithful, and the rain did not come until we got home. That's what I prayed. We got home and just started pouring. But anyhow, it was one of those things. We can command the weather, command to stop raining, command the hail to stop, command the tornadoes to go back up. That kind of stuff. Those are miracles. And I know there's I'm just trying to think of things I've witnessed and been part of. I don't know, God's just faithful to answer prayer. And that all comes to my mind right now, just those examples. Michael,
What?
are you listening? Yeah, I'm
Barely.
done.
Okay. Well, I was looking up something. Okay, anybody else working up miracles? I'll tell you one that happened to me and James Bogle one time over in Memphis. We walked into this family center, I guess is what you'd call it, where people come together and they do things with their kids, and it was a big one. We walked in, we saw this little kid. Man, he just barely could walk. His toes were right like this. And he was just hurting to walk. And we went up to his mama. He was about 4 years old. Went up to his mama and asked her, said, what's wrong with him? She said, well, they said they're going to have to break his ankles and move it a little bit and let it heal up. And then break them again, move it a little bit more. Now, can you imagine the pain that little boy is going to go through to doing that? And we asked her, said, would you like God to do to heal him? She said, oh, glory to God. This is a over in Memphis. Anyway, so we prayed for that kid, commanded those feet to line up with the word of God and line up with in front of him and be normal in the name of Jesus. Now we said, boy, get up and start walking. He got up and his feet were absolutely straight. Absolutely straight. And he started walking down through there, and all his mama was going nuts. She was going absolutely nuts. And, we were too. We were thanking God for the healing and praising God for the healing. And that little boy, James, got behind him. He said, now, boy, run down through there. And he ran down through there, and he ran back. And when he was coming back, we could tell he was moving his feet back. When your brain gets used to it so long, it tries to get you back like it was, or your flesh. And, his mama went out there and jerked him up. She said, don't you never, ever, as long as your eyes is open and your skin is black, ever do that again. She said, you keep your feet straight. And, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And so he took off down through there again, and he was straight as an arrow, boy. He was watching his mama, and he He was doing good. That was a miracle. That was a bona fide miracle also. So let me tell you what the definition is. A miracle can be defined as a supernatural intervention by God in the ordinary course of nature. As in any case, with many words in the English language, when we use the word miracle, generally speaking, it means one thing, but used specifically, it means something else. For example, sometimes the word miracle is used generally as a figure of speech. We talk, for instance, about miracle fabrics, miracle drugs, miracle detergents, and so forth. And it goes on and on, but miracle is something that doesn't normally happen, and that the Lord straightens back out. Does everybody understand what it means? Anybody else got an example of a miracle? We had a miracle happen over the phone one day. Somebody called and they were screaming on the phone, said, my husband died. He's on the bed. He's over there. He's dead. And so we were in our prayer meeting in the mornings. This is back when we all met together in the mornings. And so we all started praying and commanding him to come back to life. And she said, oh, he's awake. He's awake. He's up. He's up. He's okay. He's all right. He come back to life. And so that was another one that came back to life over the phone. I forget how many we've had, two or three of them that come back to life over a phone call. Yeah, Missy.
Well, back in March when we had the end of the month praise and worship night, remember it was raining real hard and we were praying. I'd never seen it rain that hard and the roof not leak since it started leaking, and it did not leak. That to
Oh,
me was a
you mean
miracle.
when was in that building down by the little mall?
No, here at my house.
Oh, it's your house. Okay.
Remember that it was it, we were we stopped in the middle of our praise and worship, and we were prayed because it was raining so hard. It had never rained. I mean, I was amazed that at that point that it didn't already start leaking, but it hadn't, and it was already a miracle. But we prayed and it didn't leak. The
Amen.
roof did not
Yeah, I
drip.
remember.
The ceiling did not drip. That to me was a miracle because I had never
Yeah.
seen it do that. So praise the
Amen.
Lord. Thank you, Lord, that
Thank you.
I believe the Lord showed me that all that was going on was nothing but a pure adulterated lie of the enemy, just tormenting me. That in the natural there was nothing wrong with that roof. It was just something that the enemy was doing.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
Well,
you, Lord.
that's a miracle. Another miracle is commanding. We saw this girl that, boy, she was gimped up something bad. Me and another guy were started praying for her, and boy, her arms are all messed up. Her legs are messed up, and we started praying for her, and arms started popping and straightening out. Your legs started popping and straightening out. And I'm just praising God. Man, I'm just going nuts over there, you know. And James was too. And she just straightened up, and she was just perfectly straightened out. Where she had a little bit at the end on her elbows, and she couldn't get it straightened out. We commanded that thing to straighten out, and we told her, now push it out there. And she pushed it right out, boy. I'm telling you, she was completely healed. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, amen. She was completely healed. She was about 16, 17 years old, something like that. Born like that. All right, anybody else? Making blind eyes see, that's a miracle. You know what else is a miracle? Helping somebody come into the kingdom. That's a miracle. Hey, Angelica. Good to have you, girl. Welcome. All right. Anybody else on the gifts of miracles? You got any questions or any Oh, sure. Is it do we need to do it right now? Okay. All right. Hang on. Yes, it is. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. We thank you for a great, wonderful time down there, Lord. Peace, joy. All right. Anybody else? Well, we're talking about the gifts of miracles. And has anybody got anything else that they would like to add as far as the gifts of miracles go? I've seen them in operation a few times, more than a few times, actually. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
This isn't my experience, but it's something that's in the Bible where the Lord turned the sun back. You all familiar with that one?
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm in.
Second Kings 20, verse 8, Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me? And I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day. And Isaiah said, this sign shall be unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing he has spoken. Shall the shadow go back? Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or go back 10 steps? And Hezekiah answered, the light thing for a shadow to decline step 10 steps, nay, but let the shadow return backwards 10 steps. And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 steps backwards, and by which it had gone down on the dial of Ahaz. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I like what Hagin was talking about when he was talking about working of miracles in the New Testament. When Jesus took the little boy's lunch and fed 5,000 with it, he said, I'm sometimes amazed at the way some folks, even educated folks, try to explain away the Bible. For example, I was reading after a fellow once who had all kinds of initials on the end of his name, X, Y, Z, PhD. And so on and so on. And he said, please understand that I'm not against education, but sometimes people can educate their heads at the expense of educating their hearts. He said, this particular intellectual I was reading after was trying to explain away the miracles in the Bible. He explained the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000, which the little boy's loaves of bread. With the little boy's loaves of bread, by saying the loaves of bread in those days were bigger than they are now. If he had really read this account in the Bible, he would have noticed that it was a little boy's lunch, John 6:9. In the first place, it's difficult to imagine that a little boy could have carried enough bread out there to have fed 5,000. In the second place, it's difficult to imagine that he had planned to eat all of that lunch for himself. People do get a little bit sillified. That was a working of miracles. I've seen that happen before. I've seen food appear that wasn't there. I've seen money appear that wasn't there. That's happened to me personally. That's happened to the ministry, as y'all know, many times. And it's awesome to watch God do those miracles. It is really awesome. Yeah, Angelica, go ahead.
Thank you, everybody. Kind of on the subject, but more along the lines of maybe a prayer and maybe discussion, to kind of maybe get a consensus. So, yesterday at the book study, Michael, we were talking about, praying in tongues, and everyone was sharing their experience and sort of thinking on those things. And anyway, so. Debbie shared, I shared, everyone shared. And
And then kind of like, we hung out during the day, after lunch and everything, and I realized the enemy was like really attacking her, and I ended up realizing the enemy was really attacking like our minds in terms of like I suppose rejection, about even like sharing, you know what I mean? About even sharing your experiences with the Lord, that, the enemy was speaking all kinds of different, things in your mind. What, who do you think you are to Debbie, and, to share those things, and people think this and people think that, and all these things. And I kind of, into some degree, like I was feeling some sort of, nagging type of oppression, and I really couldn't put my finger on it. And I realized it was like, some form of condemnation, like trying to condemn me for sharing because of my past failures or whatever. And so we prayed against that, and and it was, so it was like, okay, praise God, because we were talking about how that every time you set time to pray in the spirit, how the enemy will not only while you're doing that, he'll distract you with all kinds of things, but it's like even after you're done praying in the spirit, it's like you still have a battle because he'll attack you with certain things or maybe certain failures or whatever. And so that will discourage you from even wanting to pray altogether. And it's kind of, and I was kind of noticing a pattern like that Satan wants to discourage you so much from even just praying in the spirit. And of course we, we've all learned, we've been discussing that, just with praying in the spirit, it can, so many things can come out of that. Anyway, there's, of course, there's other manifestations of the giftings, but mostly it's like around, the brethren, or in a setting where you're giving something to someone. So anyway, I wondered if I got to thinking, and I wondered if perhaps other people are struggling in that way. Like, if we're not seeing the manifestations of the giftings, because it's like, I guess my heart's cry has been like, Lord, I just, I'm not, I guess I'm not satisfied with just hearing about it all. I want to experience it. I want, I've had some stuff in the past, and that's great, but that's the past. What about now? Right. And so, I don't want to be a perpetual student. I want to experience the Lord. But I think in a lot of ways, rejection, and without me realizing it, rejection type thoughts like, oh, well, I'm not good enough, or, I'm not this person who has this amazing gift in that area, so I better step back, or whatever kind of mentality, which I think are rejection type thoughts, But I thought, I wonder if other people are struggling with this, and maybe we should pray for this, that we need to, and the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be open, and that anything we ask the Lord, he'll give that to us. And perhaps we need to pray that the Lord would give us faith for those gifts, and reveal anything, any hindrance there. Maybe it's a matter of confession, because I remember when that one time when we went prayer walking, we, instead of just going out into prayer, we all got together, we prayed together, and we confessed who we were. We said, we confessed all that we had in Christ, our dominion, our authority, our giftings, every, because the Bible says, acknowledge every good thing that is in you. And so when we did that, it was like the gifts were in operation. And I was thinking about earlier, before you invited me on, like, maybe this is another key to manifesting the gifts, is constantly confessing what you have, and not like a sense of like waiting for God to give you some special gift at some random time. You know what I mean? Like, maybe that's what we, as a body, might need to pray for, And so I don't know. I just wanted to share that and see, get anyone else's thoughts on that, if they've had any struggles like that, or whatever, and then maybe we can pray.
Okay, let me just ask a question. Has anybody not been distracted? I want to see your hand. So everybody has at one point in their life been distracted, and I'd say just about everybody. I know I have, but yeah, that's a major one right there, and that's one that the devil loves to throw at us. Go ahead, Julie.
Yeah, Angelica, I can relate just somewhat to what you're saying, not specifically about praying in the spirit, but it's anything we want to be doing for the Lord, whether it's reading, studying, meditating, getting alone with the Lord, worshiping Him, and all kinds of things. So I've been going through my own trials, like everybody's going through some kind of trial. And what the Lord was just talking to me about today and was encouraging me is that it was a matter of, he was just showing me where the enemy was trying to, I mean, what he wants to do is steal our faith. It don't matter what it's faith for. You know, we can't have faith in anything else and receive from the Father. So he wants to destroy whatever he can and get us distracted looking inwardly, like it's, you know, using doubt, using condemnation, because, you know, I was distracted. I was doing something I shouldn't have been doing, or whatever, or this or that. And then again, just, you know, attacking our minds with the accusations and rejection and all kinds of things to try to get offensive and, you know, get a spirit of offense in there or whatever, anything. That's his tactics. And the Lord reminded me, he goes, be wise, be sober, be watchful, and discerning what the enemy's doing in your mind, because that's what he's doing. He's trying to put these things in my mind about the accusations and condemnation, or the doubt and the distractions and this and that. It's like his little game. And so I can relate to that, and just being encouraged what the Lord told me. He goes, keep fighting the good fight of the faith. He goes, you know, because the enemy hates us. He hates us. And he fears us because the enemy sees Christ in us, and they want us not to grow. And we are growing. And what you were just talking about, we are growing, Angelica. And what one of the scriptures that the Lord just was revealing to me is was in Mark 16, when, you know, he sent them out. And so the Lord, this, and these were the apostles, but we're disciples, right? So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke unto them, was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word by signs that followed. And we're going to be doing the same thing. Don't get discouraged, and don't be double-minded or thinking that, you know, or walking by sight. And it's just overcoming the mind of the flesh and what the enemy, knowing what the enemy's trying to do, and keep fighting against it, and said, no, the word of God says this, no, the word of God, like you said, confession. It's confession, speaking as Christ speaks. That's what the Lord was encouraging me with today. And because enemy, you know, we're getting so close to things changing and God manifesting stuff. So it's like the enemy is, I think, working very hard against us, but he's still defeated. And that's what we have to, you know, rub his nose in, that he's already defeated and we already have the victory, and declaring who we are and that we do have the gifts, because we pray for the gifts, however and whatever gifts you've asked for, and to be used of the Lord. So I can relate to what you're saying to some degree, I believe.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yep, that's a major problem, is distraction. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I'm in the midst of trying something myself. So, you know, it says in 2 Corinthians 6 and 17, the Lord is admonishing us to come out of the midst, to be separate, and to touch no unclean thing. Now, and I will receive you. So he's saying this because he walks in us, and he's first. We let him lead for us. And of course, you know, if he's telling us, touch no unclean thing, what was it described to me that the Old Testament, a woman was considered unclean when she was in her time, because she would lose her fertility and then gain new fertility. So You don't want to give up that word. This is what you're doing anyway. You're confessing it, you know. You're fighting the good fight of the faith. You lay hold of eternal life, whereunto you were called, and who called you? You know, the same one that now wants to walk in you, you know. And I will dwell in them and walk and be their God, and they shall be my people. And then, of course, he's making you holy and righteous by telling you to come out from among them. And but you see, we actually do this quite a bit because we get tempted, and you go, I'm not giving up that, you know, for what this tempter is trying to have me want, you know, and you can recognize the temptation. So no, you don't want to give up the word, you know, but you know, it is a battle, it is a fight, and we have to use our sword, our shield, our righteous garment, you know, and our breastplate of righteousness, and our belt of truth, and our sandals of peace, and you know, the two are made one, thus making peace. This is what God's trying to perform in us. He's trying to create us in Christ Jesus. So because we're God's workmanship, it's just a battle that is supposed to be faithful, that we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us, and we came out of the waters and rose into newness of life, you know, and we tend to skip out or forget these things, you know. Now I was told there was some amazing power in that water baptism too, you know. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And you know, I think everyone remembers that when you're standing in the water, when he died, you died. That's Galatians 2:20. And you know, when he was buried or put in the tomb, you were there in there with him. And then when you come up out of the waters of the word, you have newness of life. But you know, this is why you got baptized, and this is what you want to remain in, and you have someone helping you. You know, you have the Lord God the Almighty. You know, if any love me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our abode with him. And that's a sanctuary too, you know. That's a tabernacle, you know. I don't know if the Lord is trying to get us used to when people in the certain verses in Revelation 13 start blaspheming the tabernacle, you know. And well, we're getting that blasphemy trying to be put into us by the opposing side as a temptation, you know. So we really do have to fight the good fight. We do have to do that. 1 Timothy 6:12, and this is something, you know, for no word of God shall be void of power, you know, and always the 1 Peter was told to tell us, Peter the apostle, since his divine power hath given to us all things pertaining unto life. Well, whose life, you know that? And godliness, you know, which God is this? The one that walks in us. The life is the life of the blood, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. So he's increasing the glory of God's knowledge in you, because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And we have to walk in that light as he is in the light. And which is on the same page of 1 John 1. So you know, you get inundated with these verses, but these verses are true and strong. They're swinging your sword, you know, and you want them to come out naturally out of your mouth, because sometimes in the heat of battle, or when some loved one is doing something that really sounds depressing or offensive and depressive, and you know it's different spirits, you know, you go, oh man. No, that's my daughter, you know. She's not supposed to behave this way, you know. And it kind of hurts you for some reason, and you know, and eventually they might come around and apologize, but they need the Lord, Almighty God. Almighty saith the Lord Almighty. The last four words of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And then it's the promised one in 7 and 1, you know. And of course, there's Peter saying this. You got the two pillars, Peter and Paul, talking about promise. But where did they get those words from? These words that we read is like sitting across from Jesus or God Himself, across the table, and talking to Him. Even the warnings, you know. Fathers, you know, tend to warn their kids, even mothers do. And you got to be a good mother and a good father, even if you don't think you are a mother. Mothers have a higher rank, I think, than just a wife or a woman, you know. I think they're spiritual mothers, you know. And not all of them are female either. So praise God. Glory to God.
Must be tapping his hand on the table. That was good. Thank you, Andrew. Okay, what is it that God can't do through us? The only thing that he can't do through us is what we don't let him to do. That's all. Because everything else is available to him. If we have faith to believe. And I think everybody here wants that faith. And the way to get that faith is how? One of them is praying in tongues. Another one is reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God. That's the big one. Yeah, Angelica, go ahead.
Amen. Yeah, I just wanted to pray, not maybe just maybe, I mean, maybe this is just for myself, but anyone else who would want to,
Sure.
who maybe would want that kind of prayer. But yeah, I was, how we were talking about praying in the spirit and, for a length of time, and how the enemy will bring all these distractions to your mind, or your flesh just gets so squirmy that you just got to get up and do something, and I realize, in learning the discipline of sitting there for a while, for a long time, or whatever, that everything that you do, that you open yourself up to, it doesn't have to be sin. It just could be a video. It could just be something, not edifying, or just whatever it is. Satan will use it against you in your mind. He will bring it back. He'll take here. It's a constant battle to remain focused, to hear from God when you're doing this thing. And it becomes easier, but I realize that, the things that I watch, or constantly in the news, or reading things, you know what I mean? Satan uses that as ammo against you to distract your mind. And I think that's probably the one of the main things that Pat hit on. I'm sorry, not Pat. That's Brother Andrew hit on, was that touch no unclean thing, and I'll put no base thing before my eyes. And I'm not saying anyone here is doing that. I think particularly, the Lord is requiring more of us. Even though these things are not sin, to be watching videos or news, and we use things to pray about or whatever. But like, I often ask myself, like, is it even possible for us to get away from videos anymore? You know what I mean? From any of it, like, because a lot of our life is based on, sharing links and sharing videos and things like that. And it's like, I do think it's possible, Anyway, I would really like to pray in that, because I know that the Lord has so many times has given us warnings and dreams and corrections about distraction. It's like, but I suppose it doesn't seem like sin, and to some degree, it's like, well, there's nothing else going on. You know what I mean? Your mind can reason. It's like, well, God could be giving you so much more, and he could be doing so much more through you because if he had a willing, focused vessel that just gave him the time and allowed him to speak and whatever. So I definitely would like to pray about this for myself anyway. Against any kind of, hindrance to faith, to believe for the Lord to do any and all things through us, because we know the greater, anointing is coming and all that. But I think just like anything else, we have to believe we received it. We have to have an expectation, before we ever, get there. You know what I mean? We have to like lay the groundwork in faith and start seeing ourselves as having these giftings. And I really haven't pressed into the Lord to say, well, I believe the Lord has given me a gift of healing ministry, and that's in the future. And I, you know, but that doesn't mean that I can't go around and lay hands on people and believe, right? For them to be healed or whatever. We know the anointing is coming later on, but like I don't know more specifically about what he would have me to do as far as, my particular ministry of calling or whatever. And so that's something I would like to be able to know, you know what I mean? Because it's like you have to know what part of the body you are so that you can sort of focus on that. I think the Bible says that, to like give yourself wholly to your ministry. And of course we are responsible with whatever the Lord has given us to bear fruit with that and not just bury our talent. And I think a lot of the time, at least me, and it could be others, but at least me, you just think, well, I don't have any very much anything, because it doesn't seem like anything's going on. But I suppose there's not a lot of maybe teaching out there about how to press into the gifts, how to have, faith for the gifts, how to operate in giftings that, like I've heard of people that have specific gifts that, and they teach other people that have that gift how to minister in that gift. And I think that's really neat. But anyway, I'm sorry I'm rambling here, but I just want to pray for myself and for the body, because I believe that, the Bible says that we're supposed to be going out there and doing the works of the Lord. And I'm not talking about works, I'm just talking about being led of the Spirit, but always having that faith that God can do anything at any moment. I can receive visions, I can see, receive direction, I can in whatever various ways, because I think it's very encouraging and very exciting to always be living in that realm. And I think that's what the Lord really wants for us, is to live in the spiritual realm. And not be like, so, you know what I mean? Like I remember first being born again. I was so excited. I was like, there's no such thing as boredom, because living for God is so exciting. It's so wonderful to see him doing amazing things and destroying the works of the devil and all these things. And then kind of getting sidelined, I've had a lot of learning to do, and the Lord had to do a lot of humbling or whatever, but I just want to be geared in that direction. Right. I think it's just part of it, and that we can't necessarily just sort of like hope for the future or something like that. I think it's just like everything else, we probably should be expecting now and asking the Lord for that mercifully to give us those giftings. A lot of people that left, they had amazing giftings, and it wasn't anything special about them. It was the Lord, and I think, the brethren that are here are more committed to the Lord, and I believe the Lord should, would want to give us those things if we exercise our faith for them. And so anyway, I'm gonna pray. So Lord, I thank you, Father, for your wonderful kindness, your mercy, and your grace, Lord. I thank you for the gifting of your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I so desperately want to just see you in action, Lord God. See you move on behalf of the lost, on behalf of the body, for the perfecting of the saints, Lord. Everything, I want to glorify you in the things that you do through us and for us, through the other brethren, Father God, and the things that you're doing daily for the people, Lord. And I know that you're constantly working towards that end, Lord. And I repent for just being distracted, and any kind of leaven, in my life that, just lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, those kinds of things that just hinder my desire for you and just completely take away my focus. And I so desperately want to be in that place, Lord God, of relationship with you and seeking your face for everyone else, Lord God, for those that we're supposed to intercede for, those that we're supposed to be believing for, those that you have run, in our life, that we're our neighbors, our friends, whomever, Lord, that we be found ready, be sober-minded, as Julie said, Lord, and that we're ready with that anointing at all times, because we're full of faith, because we know we've seen it, we've experienced it, and we're not, we're not just talking about it, but we're doers of the word, Father God, not hearers only. And I want all of us to be doers. I want, experience those things that you have for us, Lord, and I want to be taught and sit at your feet and hear you teach us about how to use these gifts, Lord. There's so much things we've learned in the past and people in the past or whatever, but we all have an individual ministry that we need to focus on with you so that we can be taught of you. And I so want that for myself, Lord. And I ask you for that, Lord. I ask you to pour out a gift, Father God, an anointing for the people here, the people in UBM, Father God, the bride, Father God, to know how to operate in the giftings, Father God, in these end times, to know what we're supposed to be doing, Father God, to know what it is you've given us, Father God, specifically, so that we can be perfected in those gifts, Lord. And I pray that you remove all forms of rejection and condemnation and evil reasoning about whatever, Lord, any hindrance. I pray that you reveal the hindrances to us operating in those giftings, Father God, and manifesting your glory, Lord, because it's to your glory, Father God. It's for your glory, Lord God. It's not for us, but we're not supposed to be having a form of godliness and denying the power in Lord, I don't want to sit here and die, spiritually speaking. I want to exercise my faith. I want to see, wonderful things on behalf of others, Lord. And I just, that's my heart for myself and for others. And I pray that you give that to us. But more importantly, Father God, that you give us a gift of love, Father God, the most excellent a gift, Father God, when operating in these gifts, Father God, that you keep us back from the enemy, from perverting those gifts, Father God, that you cleanse our mind, cleanse our hearts and our thoughts, that you would remove completely, Father God, the desires of the distractions of the meaningless things in life, Lord, because we, impress upon us, Father God, the people are dying. People are about to die. There's earthquakes happening. There's things happening. People are dying literally every day. And if we're doing our duty, Father God, then we can trust and know that you're in the midst, Father God, that we're being good stewards of what it is you have put in us, Lord, that treasure in earthen vessels, Lord God, that it be manifest, Father God, so that you may be glorified, so that other people can come into the kingdom, Father God. I pray that you remove all stagnation from my life, Lord God, and all dullness and of hearing, and help me to be sensitive in the spirit, and help others to the same, Father God. Be sensitive in the spirit, Father God. And I pray that the enemy would not be successful in shutting us up because of rejection or fear to speak that something that you have spoken, Lord. And help us, Father God, to be free to share these things, Father God, and encourage each other, Father God, and all that the enemy does, Father God, to entangle us from doing the works, from sharing the things, Father God, from exercising our faith, Father God. Help us, Father God, empower us to come against those things, Father God, and help remove all those things that are just noise, that are just meaningless, Father God. Help us to be about your business, Lord God, so that we can see your glory, Father God, and be satisfied, Father God, that the desires in our heart are fulfilled because of the grace that you've given us to obey obey and to operate in that knowledge, Lord. Help us to focus on the heavenly things, on the spiritual things, Father God, to be connected to you, Father God, to hear your voice at any time, at any given place, Father God. And I just thank you for doing that, Lord. I ask for a restoration of this, your ministry, Father God, the ministry of Jesus Christ among your saints, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I ask you for faith, Father God, for the power gifts, Father God, for the anointing, for the power, Father God, to believe you that we can have any gift at any time, Father God, because we ask, because your word says if we ask, then you will give it, Lord. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Ooh, glory to God, I receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for boldness for everybody to go out there and do the word as well. And I praise you, Father, that that's being done. I had a great evangelist, healing evangelist, tell me one time. I asked him, I said, how do you get to the point to where you know everybody's going to get healed? He said, you do it, 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 you do it. That's how you do it. That's how you get it. You have to keep doing it, and believing, and believing. It's like that lady I prayed for, I told y'all about the other day, prayed for it at the grocery store. She was bent over double, pushing the grocery cart that was. Anyway, I prayed for her, didn't see any manifestation, didn't have to. I knew it was done. You just know it's done and go on and keep praising God that it was done for that lady. That he would get the glory for it. Not me. I don't need the glory. He needs it. He wants the glory. And he's going to get the glory because I couldn't heal anything. It's God that does it. And I thank you, Father, the anointing of God does it. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. That you place it in everybody's heart to get out and be bold. Anytime they see somebody needs something, that you know that you have the authority and the power and the faith to give it to them. Lord, let it be so. And I thank you, Lord, for that prayer. And I believe everything that you prayed is going to happen to everybody that receives it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Ooh, that was a good one, Angelica. I like that one. I like that. Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you, Angelica, for a prayer. Thank you, Michael. I agree with that. I just want to add, I'm just talking about myself now. The Lord reminded me time and time again about let patience have its perfect work, that you'll be entire, lacking in nothing. And He says to me quite a few times in everything I do, I know how to make sons. You don't know. Just wait, rest for my time. Pray and believe. That's all I said. But I can only talk about myself. I don't know anybody else's life, but that's what the Lord taught me is be patient. I know what I'm doing. Just believe. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Joe. Yeah. Praise God. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to? I received everything. She prayed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that the gifts are in operation and everybody who wants to receive it in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, when the time comes and the thing that you need to pray for is going to need to be happening, that those gifts will open up to that person who believes. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. All of the gifts are in operation. Thank you, Father. Did we determine was the best gift the other night? It was the one that was needed, right? Yeah, it's the one that was needed at the time you need it. Yeah, I think he's trying to, and Lord, I thank you for taking this distraction of the entertainment thing out of us, all of us. We don't need to be entertained by anything but you, Lord. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. YouTube, shut down. Amen. All right, anybody else? Anybody else receive that prayer?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share or pray about or would like to receive that?
Michael, can I share a song?
Sure. You gonna sing it?
I'm going to sing along with the video.
Okay, go ahead.
Did you give me permission?
I did. You having trouble? Oh, here it is.
Set me free. Thank you, Jesus. You set me free. Christ, my Savior, you rescued me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You set me free. Christ, my Savior. You rescued me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I like that song. That's a good song. Thank you, Julie, for that. One thing I did want to mention here, we talked a little bit about tones. Lake said this, somebody asked him one time, he said, what do you attribute your faith to, the faith that you have? What do you attribute that to? He said, speaking in tongues, long, hard, and fast. Speaking in tongues all the time, long, hard, and fast is the way he put it. Tongues is a good way to build your faith up. You'll get, and it'll also build up your boldness as well. Okay. Anybody else? No, I didn't. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
I'd just like to pray now for my son Benjamin, because he just left the apartment. He was struggling studying, and he might have a lot of things on his mind, you know. So, Father God, I hold my son Benjamin before you. I thank you, Lord, that you called him and you've saved him and you've given him such wonderful words and such a wonderful understanding of your ministry here at UVM, Father God. And Father God, I pray that you would bless him at his workplace. He's, the boss says there's work going to be on Monday, but there was none today. And there won't be any tomorrow, so I pray, Father, that you would bless this very small workplace of only four people, but I pray, Father, that you could bless him with more work and as much work as he needs, and with his studies, because he's studying to get some sort of license for something, and he needs to focus on that, too, and he needs to focus on you, too, Lord, so you know, studying what he's studying will take him away from nasty stuff in the world anyway, Lord, and make him busy with his job and busy, of course, with you, Lord, Father God. And he's also thinking maybe about his marriage and stuff. So, Father God, bless him. And he's sorrowful for his sister and my son-in-law, Lord, with what's going on with their marriage and everything else that's going on, and you know better than me, Lord, what's going on there. So, you know, Lord, when you have family members that are going through these things, you tend to feel very, anxious for you to work, Lord, and for you to do things. What's it going to take? You know, sometimes we might even say that, Lord, what's it going to take for this person to come to the Lord? But we know, Lord, your second blessing on the Sermon on the Mount, you know, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And I pray, Father, that that does apply to a lot of things, Lord. It could apply in this case also for lost loved ones and for correction in the church, to have your one powerful church, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you, Father. Go ahead, Angelica.
And I just want to pray for Andrew and I'm sorry, what was his name, his son's name again? I'm sorry.
Benjamin.
Oh, Benjamin. Okay. Father God, I lift up Andrew to you, Father God, and I thank you, Father God, for just giving him supernatural strength, Father God, an outpouring of your spirit, Father God, a refreshing, Father God, a great expectation, Father God. And give him dreams, Father God. Give him visions, Father God, of his daughter, Father God, and help that to encourage his son, Father God. And give Benjamin, Father God, dreams and visions to see, Father God, the end of the thing, Father God, the end of it, Father God. And we just bind, Father God, any kind of discouragement or any hopelessness or weary and well doing or doubt or unbelief, Father God, in Jesus' name, we just cast it down and we just loose the angels, Father God, to go before his daughter in that situation, Father God. We bind the spiritual darkness and the spiritual blindness, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And we just command our family, Father God, to be woken up in the spirit in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you grab hold of them, Father God, that the fear of the Lord, Father God, fall upon them, Lord God, and that you do a quick work, Father God. And I thank you for that, Lord God. And I lift up Benjamin to you, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, that you will clear his mind of anything, Father God, that is not important to you, Lord. And that will be a hindrance to him, Lord. And I thank you, Father God, for supernatural provision, Father God, because as he seeks you, Father God, as he fills himself with you, Father God, that you will reward him, Father God, and you feed, never have you seen a child of God begging bread. I thank you that money is coming from anywhere he needs it, Father God, for him and for Andrew and from all of us, Father God, for all of us in the name of Jesus, Father God. And we just cast down all hindrances and delays, Father God, in Jesus' name. We call his daughter delivered, Father God. We call her born again, Father God. We call her, Father God, yours in the name of Jesus. We speak the defeat of all the forces of darkness working to hinder her in the name of Jesus, Father God. And Lord, I don't know the situation with her husband or whatever, Lord, but Lord, either he's yours or he's not, Father God. And if he is, Father God, we thank you for a radical transformation, Father God. I bind the wickedness and the curses, Father God. And I thank you for giving them a reprieve, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and just doing a mighty work there, Lord. If there's children involved, Father God, bless and cover the children. We bless them, cover them with the blood of Jesus, Father God. And we thank you for a revival in this home, a restoration, Father God, of everything the enemy has stolen, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And that you make full Andrew's joy, Father God, to see his children rejoicing, Father God, and praising and worshiping you and seeing you work, Father God, in their lives. And we thank you so much for that, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. And I thank you for Benjamin, Father God, that you make everything known to him, your plans for his life, Father God, in the name of Jesus, and that he put down anything that the enemy has put in his way, Father God. Sometimes things look, they look good in the world. They look good on paper. They look like the good, it's not evil, but it's not you. And so I just pray for divine wisdom, Father God, to know what to pursue, Father God, because if we pursue things that are not of you, Father God, we would have wasted our time, Father God, because you will not open the door. It will end in disaster, Lord. So I thank you, Father God, that you make it clear to him, Father God, and give him the will to do of your good pleasure, Father God, that all those things that the enemy uses to try to, distract young men of his age, Father God, especially men of God, Father God, are cast down to the ground in the name of Jesus, that he has a divine focus and an even greater love for you, Father God, so much so that he just doesn't know what to do with it. He just knows that he must seek you for everything, Father God, and just obey whatever it is you have him to do, Father. And we thank you for that, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Glory, Lord, be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's see. Okay, I'll do that. The more you pray in the Spirit, the more God's going to utilize you in the Spirit. I believe that with all my heart, because that's what he did with me. many times. I'll tell you one example. I was out at Teleco Blockhouse Park here, and there was some shenanigans going on out there, and went to praying against them, and I believe it was Angelica. She and I were praying. She was at home, and I called her, asked her to pray with me about shenanigans going on with the evil one. So we prayed and we prayed and we prayed, and they left. The angels came and they moved them out of there. And then I prayed that there would be a big angel standing right there next to the blockhouse. And that angel is still there. I told him to bless this park and keep the demons out of there. And the other day I went over just to check to see if that angel was over there, and he was still there. He's as big as that blockhouse. And he's still there, and everybody that comes to that park now is blessed. That's because that was what we prayed. There's been times in fellowship, many times in fellowship, where I've seen Jesus just sitting up in his in a chair just up above us, in a oak looking rocker, like an old timey oak rocker. And apparently that's something he likes to do. And he sits up there and he'll rock and he'll watch us. And sometimes he'll get up and dance around while we're dancing. Just things like that. And I see a lot of times I see angels in the fellowship. I see angels in our book study. And that's what God, I see angels here. I can see your REL right there. He's still there. And it's because I believe of the time that I spend praying in the spirit, and I know a lot of y'all do too. I go around when I'm in my truck by myself. I'm praying in the spirit. When I'm out walking somewhere, I'm praying in the spirit. When I'm doing anything, when I walk down the stairs, I'm praying in the spirit. Oh, it's just pray in the spirit all the time, and that way the power of God is evident with you all the time, and you can utilize it. See in the spirit, and he gives me words. He gives y'all words. He gives Debbie words, all the time. Words of wisdom. Got a word of wisdom the other day. A prophetic word for one of the kids. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Angelica, go ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to pick your brain because I know that there's a lot, you receive a lot, you don't really speak about a lot,
Yeah.
but I asked the Lord for a word by faith at random before I got on, and I got it's in Kenneth Hagin's book called How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. It's in and it's it landed on the word guidance through visions.
Yeah.
And the scripture is Acts 10:1-3. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, and an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, and so that's where it ends. But it's like interesting. He wasn't really even born again, and he was receiving visions. So I was would like to pick your brain, a little Q&A.
Sure.
Did you ask for the gift of visions, or when did you first receive that? And how would you tell? How would you be able to articulate to us to have more faith for more visions?
I let me say this first. I believe people are seeing visions that don't believe their visions a lot of times. But the first time I had a vision was in Memphis, Tennessee. And a lady had asked us to go pray for her house, and me and another guy to go over there. We were doing evangelistic work back then. We were healing on the streets, healing on the streets and healing in people's houses and going around just ever how the Lord led us. We did it all over the Southwest. Every weekend we'd go somewhere. But this particular time, it was just gotten dark. This was in the summertime, and it was on a weekend. And she had asked us to pray before we went back home. And so we went over to her house. She gave us the address. We went over to her house, brand new. It wasn't a brand new house, it was an older house. And it was open. So we went inside in the big room, probably was the living room. And we both got down on our knees. We started blessing the house, just blessing it, just blessing it. Lord, bless this house. We command every demon spirit that has ever been in this house to leave right now. Jesus, just witchcraft broken off of it, all of those things. And then all of a sudden, my eyes were open to the heavenlies, and I saw multitudes of angels coming down like a tornado. I don't know how else to explain it, but they were coming down, just coming down. Thousands of them were coming down and filled that house up. That house was blessed. And that was the first vision I had. And then from that point on, it was seemed like every time we went out, God gave me a vision. I had a vision over in Memphis again. We went over to this lady's house. First time I saw a demon. Went over to a lady's house, and she was a hoarder, somebody that just bought things and put it up, just had stuff everywhere. Didn't throw anything away. And you couldn't walk in that house. It was so packed with stuff. And anyway, we went in there, and we there was a there was probably five or six of us went over there. And as we were praying, I saw this little imp, probably about 3 foot tall. He was green. He was green, and he had a square head. He was an ugly looking little booger. And he looked at, he come running past me, and he stopped a minute. I said, "Don't even stop, keep going." He hissed at me, and out the door he went. He just went straight out the door. It was closed, but he went through it. That's the first demon I saw. He was ugly as a mud fence, boy, I'm telling you. Anyway, it's because when I got the gift of the Holy Spirit, when I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, from that point on, I kept praying in tongues, because when I got tongues that day in the shop, the power of God came on me. There was an anointing on me at that time, that I couldn't quit. I just went for 4 hours. I mean, it was some peace and joy, and all those good things that you want God to give you was going on in me, spiritually speaking. And I just couldn't stop, and I just went for 4 hours. I probably could have gone 10 hours if I, wanted to, but anyway, I did that. And from that time on, I would get up at night. When I was living in Arkansas, I'd get up at night and spend 2 or 3 hours outside praying in the spirit after everybody went to sleep. And God honored that, and He honored it with His visions and words of knowledge. And not all the gifts were in operation, but a lot of them were. Word of knowledge, prophetic words, just gift of healing, gift of faith, those were pretty evident. Because when we prayed for somebody, they got healed. And that's pretty much, I believe, and now it's got me doing other things, and it's not as, well, I'm not going to say that, but the time that the vision he gave me of Jesus coming out of the floor while we were doing the enemy's camp. And David was sitting down. He was probably resting. He's probably tired. And the Lord came up out of the floor, and he said, "Ask David to stand up." And so I went over and I said, "David, Jesus said, stand up." He said, "Who?" I said, Jesus said, stand up. I said, he's right there and he's coming over here to see me. Jesus came over there and gave him a big hug. And he said, then he stepped back a little bit and he said, tell David I want him to dance with me. I said, what? He said, tell David I want him to dance with me. I said, yes, sir. So I told David, David, the Lord wants you to dance with him. I said, I'm just telling you what the Lord said. I'm not, I just get out there and dance. So he did, to his credit. And he sat out there and danced with him for a few minutes. And that was about it. That was a good, I don't know what the Lord was doing other than he was loving on David. He was just loving on David. And I've seen Jesus many times since then. Many times since then. Just and like Angelica, I don't tell everything. It's not about me. It's the Lord. I couldn't do nothing without the Lord. It's not anything other than what the Lord wants done. Debbie will tell you that. She has words of knowledge just about every fellowship from the Lord. And it's awesome. It's awesome. But that's basically it. I think praying in tongues is key to all the gifts. And I believe that all the gifts are evident to everybody who believes. They are not evident, but they are accessible to everybody that believes. Yeah, Julie.
I agree with you 100%. Because I've asked the Lord that I wanted to be used by him, however he chose to use me. I wanted to be, free. I want all the gifts. It says to earnestly desire the greater gifts. And I believe that there will be opportunities over time. I mean, I know he's used me in the past at different times for different things because that's where I was, and my the circumstances were such that God used me for things. But the scripture that, when it talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, when it's talking about those gifts, and it says that it's all by the same Spirit, it's all by the Spirit of God, right? These things worketh one and the same Spirit, dividing to each one severally, even as he will. Now, is that as the Spirit wills, or as it's because not as we will, but isn't, I mean, we can ask for them, but it and to desire them, but it's as the Spirit wills that he gives them, right?
Yes, it is. It comes on you. The spirit of I've had the spirit of faith and the spirit of healing come upon me, and it's an anointing. For me, it was. It doesn't necessarily mean it will be. You may not feel anything, but you'll know that they're going to be here. That is what that anointing is about. You know, when you touch somebody, they come and out of that thing healed. The gift of
And
faith, too, interesting.
that's just the
Yeah.
gift of faith, right? With healing, right?
That's a gift of healing or faith, either one. Yeah. It's a knowing. Yeah, I mean, it's like, glory to God, somebody fixed to get healed here. Because to me, it was an anointing. And I felt a little something. But I knew, in deep in my spirit, I knew that they were going to get healed. And lots of people got healed that way. Yeah, Angelica.
Amen. Just to kind of, my opinion, Julie, about what you were asking, I definitely believe it's as the Spirit wills that the Holy Spirit, gives to us, whatever giftings. But also, the Bible says that we have every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, and whatever you ask for, you believe you received it. So, I in my opinion, I think that God will use you in whatever capacity you're willing to be open to. And it's as the need is, right? Like, 'cause as long as you believe for those giftings and God can use you in any way, I believe, like, he can use you in whatever circumstance. You know what I mean? You're not limited. You're not limiting God. Not that all the gifts are going to always be your focus. You know what I mean? Or like
your strong suit or whatever, or your ministry, quote unquote ministry, whatever. But like, I just believe that if you exercise faith towards God, using a specific gift, that you will receive it, because that's what the Bible says. But I don't know, what do you think about that, Michael? And then I had to ask you, Michael, how can we exercise more faith to have visions? And when you get the visions, can you explain to us, like, is it more like your mind's eye, or is it real? Like if it's really in front of you, can you like give us in detail? Because I think that'd be helpful for some of us that are doubtful. I think I've had maybe some visions, and I'm like, well, that's just my imagination, or it seems like a little hazy. It doesn't really seem like a full picture. And so, how would you encourage us to have to be able to exercise faith for more visions, and whatever you have to share on that?
99.9% of my visions are spiritual. That one that Jesus came up out of the floor, I actually saw it. That was, to me, that was physical. But yes, I'll tell you something that Lake always told everybody: the more you do it, the more you believe it, the more it's going to happen. If your healing is your ministry, the more you go out and pray for folks, the more you're going to see a result. That was the key teaching point of John Lake. The more you do it, the more you're going to get it. The more you're going to see it. And just know this, that when you pray for somebody, always think about who's in you. It's not you that's healing them. It's the Holy Spirit that's healing them. That's who's healing them. That's the power that you have. And so how do you get that power? Praying in the Spirit, believing. And when you do that, and the more you do it, the more you do it, pray for folks, the more you're going to see results. The bolder you get. And you can ask the Lord for boldness. You can ask the Lord for faith. Be ye a doer of the word, though. Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Hello, everybody.
I do.
I missed obviously the majority of what we're talking about, but I kind of got the gist of it. Interesting. When you asked Michael, was it spiritual or physical in that vision? And just it kind of reminded me of a movie that was a popular about 25 years ago. Been a while. It's called The Matrix. And I'm sure, well, I don't know if everybody's seen it or not, but the gist of the movie was that people in the world were that we were living in a computer generated existence, and that people were really laying in a vegetative state in another place, basically. And the only thing functioning was their mind and the and this created simulation. It sounds a little far-fetched, but in the description that the one of the characters gave the star of the show, so to speak, Neo, he brought to his attention when he realized, when he spilled the beans, that they were in a computer simulation. And he said, "Is it so far-fetched to believe? Because, for instance, what you see is simply your eyes picking up frequency waveforms, and that frequency waveform it gets received in your eyes and translated into electronic signals, electrical impulses, which feeds your brain and tells your brain what you're seeing. It's all electronic images. And so in their particular case, the difference when they were seeing something, they had no awareness that it was really a computer simulation as opposed to actual physical reality, because both are transmitted to your brain the same way. And it's all electrical impulses and signals. So, even though when Michael saw the Lord come up through the floor, he saw him. Who knows whether that was a physical thing? We don't know that. All we know is that Michael saw him, and David was completely unaware of him. So, which obviously has nothing to do with any kind of, spiritual development or anything like that. It has everything to do with how the Lord is going to tune you into that particular frequency, So, I'm thinking of another example that kind of reminds me of that, and that was Paul on the road to Damascus. He encountered such a blazing, brilliant light that it literally dropped him to his knees. I don't know if he was on a horse or horseback or something like that, but the next second he was on the ground on his hands and knees, and he was hearing a voice, and that voice said, "Saul, Saul of Tarsus, why are you persecuting me?" And at the end of that conversation, because I'll go into exactly what was said, but at the end of that conversation, it says that those around him stood and were stunned because they could hear a voice, but they couldn't hear where it was coming from. Paul was seeing the relevance of it. It wasn't visible to anyone else, but the audible voice was visible, and whatever the content of that we have the content of that conversation, which literally changed the course of history, one in Paul's life, but once in the life of the church as it was being created and developed in that time. So the reality of that unseen vision was just as significant as if it physically would have been, physically present there. And again, I would say, how would you tell the difference? But anyway, those are just some thoughts that kind of came to me after listening to these.
Well, there's actually two kinds of, somebody brought it up to me, Russ, that there's two kinds of visions. There are two kinds. There's two kinds of visions. There's ones that you see real plain. Can you hear me? I think you're messing with me. Oh, you heard that?
It is better when you're closer to the mic.
Okay. All right. Well, we're out of time, so I'll just shut up. Anyway, there's two kinds of visions. There's the spiritual kind that you see in your spirit. Then there is the kind that you can see. You can see them, like I saw Jesus that night. And the ones that I see them both. Not that I'm anybody, but that's what the Lord gives me. And the one that I saw, the angel out at Teleco Blockhouse, that was a physical. I saw him in the physical out there.
Michael,
but yes,
pray for us to receive visions.
Anoint oh, okay.
us. Give us spread some of that anointing around.
Okay. All right. I'll be glad to. Father God, you heard him. Lord, all that wants to receive and open up their spiritual eyes to see, Lord, and their spiritual ears to hear in the spirit realm. And Lord, I thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, that everybody that wants it is going to receive it. And I praise you. And I thank you, Lord, that we're going to see just in the next few days, people that have already started seeing in the spirit realm. And I praise you and I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And not only seeing, Lord, but hearing also. Hearing in the spirit realm also, Lord. And that's the words that you say and the prophecies and all the words of knowledge. And I praise you for that, Father. Let all the gifts be evident in everybody who wants to receive it, Lord. And I thank you, everybody here wants to. And I praise you. Thank you, Lord, that we're going to see absolute miracles happening here this coming week. That everybody that does it, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask that you open up their spiritual eyes and ears to see in the spiritual realm, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Well, all right, we're out of time. Thank y'all again. This has been a good one tonight. I like this. All right. Y'all be blessed.